Oh my God, wait. I don't have a lyric.
Oh no.
Hold on.
Just say something about mopeds.
It'll only take a second.
There's not any rap.
I'll just grab something from downtown real quick, even though I'm giving it
away. I like the mom jeans on her derriere line.
Yeah.
It's a little easy.
It's fun.
On the nose.
I like the nose.
Well, hello everybody out there in Music Video Land, and welcome to another special edition of the Music Video Land podcast, this week in music videos, brought to you by your super good friends at imvdb.com, the internet's music video database. This is a podcast where we talk about music videos, we talk about new music videos, stuff going on in the music video world. My name is Adam, and with me as usual is Mr. No Mic, Mr. No Microphone. Mr. Microphone Raw Dog is joining us from Brooklyn, New York. Doug, how are you?
Doing super good, Adam. Do an ounce, get some dick. People call me Baby No Mic.
The first part of that, I think, is a lyric from something, and
yeah,
I'm struggling to place it, mostly because I'm trying to get everything you said out of my head. But maybe the other person on this podcast has a guess, and that would be Mr. Festival Circuit Sunburn. I don't know, Adam, if you're sunburn. I feel like if you go to a festival, you get sunburn. Mr. Festival Sunburn. A Fringe Music Fix, Adam Alexander. Adam, how are you?
I'm great, and Adam, I did get some sunburns over the festival circuits. Some of them I got really wet because they were camping outdoor ones, and there was no sun, but it was all worth it. Hmm.
A word of warning to people, if it's sunny out, you can still get sunburned if you're underwater. Just a South Florida tip for everybody.
Yeah.
And Adam, do you have any guess of what Doug's graphic lyrics are about?
No, I've no idea, but I can tell you that this red rain I'm sipping is pretty good. That's a little plug there for the sponsors. Red rain.
Huh? Are you getting sponsored for this podcast or not?
Yeah, I am. It was a secret.
Adam's getting paid to plug stuff on the podcast.
We've been doing it for like 2 years and we haven't even noticed. So, Doug, what song was that from?
Tell Your Friends.
Okay, yeah. I should have guessed that because it's a little more profane than the Weeknd we've been hearing so far.
It's from Walk the Moon,
right? So we have a lot to talk about this week. So should we stop dicking around?
Get right the fuck into it, guys.
There's so much going on. Well, first of all, let's just give it a little bit of a rundown. We're recording this in late August. This is Thursday, August 27th. Podcast comes out on the 28th, and if it's late August, early September, it means. It's VMA time, the Video Music Award time. That is happening this weekend, hosted by Miley Cyrus.
Ever heard of her?
Yeah. She's been kind of doing the press rounds. You might have seen her popping up in your news feeds there, getting ready for this. I haven't heard that much build up to it, but I have seen...
There's some posters around subways in New York City, New York.
Is it in L.A. this year or is it in New York? I forget.
I don't know. I just know where the posters is at.
Oh, okay. Then, so that will be happening. You gotta have a cable subscription. You have to have the MTV subscription to watch
We'll figure out a way because we're going to be live tweeting it.
Right, exactly. And we always figure out a way to do it. I like to watch the VMAs from like a Chili's. Preferably like a Chili's 2, like the airport Chili's.
He's like, no, nothing for me, but I will take some more salsa if you have it.
Yeah, just a bowl of salsa and a spoon. So that is going to be very exciting. Also, Doug, you've been at OMG everywhere in New York for the past few days, and that is also exciting.
It's real exciting. I've been excited about it. You have to be excited because otherwise you'll immediately pass out.
Right.
Because children have energy that most adults don't have.
Mm-hmm. And so can you mention like some of the people that you've seen at OMG ever? Because it's a music video studded event of studs. Just the sexiest dudes coming in.
There's so many studs at OMG everywhere. Totally. I've seen Isaac Ravishankara, and I've seen... Ali Abital, And I've seen Ian Perlman.
Allie just got signed to Partisan.
Partisan.
Congratulations, Allie.
Big ups. I've seen Alex Ameling, and Owen Donovan, all the friends.
Nice, the fam, you've seen them from afar, right? You just sort of you're in the corner,
yeah,
and they're like, kind of,
it's that yeah, I'm just there losing my religion. Sorry, I was like trying to like I was like debating how I was gonna deliver that joke. It's
excellent.
Like, okay, here we go. What am I going to do with it? And went with that.
Two thumbs up from me. And Adam, you have been on the festival circuit, as we mentioned, getting sunburned. You were at Upfest, I think that's what it's called.
Yeah, I was at Upfest. I did a little bit of coverage for Upfest.
Upfest? I've been saying UP Fest this whole time. No, I'm kidding.
No, it's totally Upfest.
I'm sorry.
So we've been all doing interesting things.
We've been all about town doing stuff. You said all. What have you been up to?
Well, I've been sitting at my computer feverishly reloading the page for Josh Forbes' GoFundMe campaign.
Yeah.
Is what I've been doing.
Yeah.
Been
well spent.
Should we talk about that a little bit first?
Yeah, I think we should. I mean, it's VMA related.
Right.
It's internet related. It's friends of the show related.
Right. So just for a little bit of background, I think that I don't know if this has ever happened before. This is super interesting because we've talked a lot in the past about how like MTV this is a big night for MTV. The VMAs are sort of their marquee thing, but they never really treat it with a lot of respect toward the people who make music video. The nominations came out. Josh Forbes was or the video that Josh Forbes directed for Walk the Moon, Shut Up and Dance, which has been a huge hit this summer, was nominated for Best Rock Video. Josh Forbes has been on this podcast.
Early episode.
Yeah, he's done videos for like Sarah Bareilles, The Fray, MKTO. He's a really fantastic, really funny director. And so he, first of all, didn't find out from MTV. He found out from other people, of course. Some people who win don't find out from MTV. They find out from people on Twitter.
Episode 17.
Damn. A long time ago.
He was the last director we've put their names in parentheses.
Nice. Josh, you could put that on your resume.
Put that in your hat. Right next to being interviewed by Carson Daly.
So Josh realized that MTV was like not going to give him a ticket to go, because if you're a director, the only way you can get a ticket, as far as I understand it, free ticket to the VMAs, is if you are nominated for Best Director. But if you're just a director of a video that got nominated, then you got to pay the Piper. And the Piper wants anywhere from like $400 to $800 a ticket, I think I saw.
Yeah, right.
And, you know, that's a lot of scratch for a ticket, especially for, you know, I mean, first of all, it's kind of interesting you can buy tickets for the VMAs.
I'm wondering if he can only buy tickets as someone who's related to a video. It's like, okay, you can go for free if you're a nominee, and then if you're related to the video in some way, then you can buy a ticket, but that the general public cannot buy a ticket. I don't know for sure, but maybe that's how it is. That hasn't been explained.
Right. I think Josh said he kind of had to kind of beat the door down at MTV to even get to be able to buy the tickets. So he was like, all right, well, I'm going to... A pretty awesome decision, it turns out, kind of like make this into a thing and let people know that, hey, I directed this video and I have to like pay my own way, so I'm going to do a GoFundMe campaign. And it wasn't for like anything crazy, it was for $1,300. And as of tonight, I think he's up to $2,500, which is almost double, but that's not really the point of it. I think
he was at that before it got really any press.
Right,
like,
right.
He realized that he had gotten it, and he wasn't really like, give me any more than this. I mean, he now has enough to rent a tux too, basically.
I think a company is donating the tux. I think I saw on his Twitter feed, or like,
oh, really?
For a little bit of promotion. Because what happened is that all these news outlets like started picking it up, and it was kind of like a pre VMA kind of like color story, like. Because it's like a perfect story, because you get to talk about, you know, you get to talk to a director and kind of like knock MTV down a few pegs. It's not like a rah-rah MTV VMA story. It's sort of like a, oh, like look how shitty MTV is for
and you
doing
can still
this.
Like, and here's a link to Shut Up and Dance and like give people like that.
And it's like a happy story because Josh got the it funded and they can and everybody can still like complain about the whole the way it is. But it was super popular. I saw it pop up in a bunch of different places. I think you mentioned he was interviewed by Carson Daly on his radio show.
Yeah, and it was on Perez Hilton and and you know it, Mashable and all of these really big websites. And yeah, he's been doing tons of interviews, local radio show stuff in LA and stuff, podcasts and stuff. And he did commentary for us.
He did an amazing commentary for Shut Up and Dance that is just went live on the site this morning. Thank you, Josh. If you're listening, Josh, I don't want to presume. I'm very, very busy. You got to get ready for the VMAs.
But I think it's important that in all of this, it doesn't get lost in like what he accomplished in there with this video. And you know, it's really a fantastic video. And you know, some of the nominees seemed kind of like redundant, and this still doesn't, I don't know if I would call this a rock song, but I'm not going to get into that. But like, this is a really like fun and funny video, and it's like a perfect Josh Forbes video. And so you can't really like be mad at the nomination either.
But it is really interesting that, that like that was sort of the lead story out of the VMAs, because every time, I think every year we kind of make a stink about like, okay, you know, the directors do not get any, and like the people behind music videos don't get any respect. And like, you know, if we write a blog post about that, you know, who's honestly, there's no real angle to that. But this kind of very uniquely gave it an angle and gave it something that people could like pick up on and really, and you know, like, hey, did you hear about the director who had to pay his own ticket to go to the MTV?
Yeah, can you believe MTV is charging the director of a video? Like, just, like, that's what, like, to me it feels like. MTV is like, yeah, you come, give me $800. And it's, like, just, like, fucking MTV. Like,
and I thought Josh was very fair in his GoFundMe page where he was talking about how it's probably, you know, a vestige of when this industry was, like, flush with cash and they, you know, everybody wanted to go. And they're like, well, yeah, you know, we're going to fill it up either way. So, you know, yeah, fork over some cash. Obviously, I don't think this is like a major, you know, source of income for MTV. I'm not sure there's going to be like a slice of the pie chart of the MTV, like, you know, like yearly, like quarterly earnings that are like, you know, little slight, you know, 2%, you know, people.
Josh Forbes' ticket.
Yeah, Josh Forbes' ticket.
It's like signaled out. It's like, fuck this guy, Josh Forbes. Here's what we made off this asshole.
Right. So awesome job, Josh.
David Wilson last year tweeted that he was forced to pay for his ticket, and I think his production company ended up paying for it or something like that. But he was upset. He did go, and I think again that was for We Exist last year's nomination.
And he made a little bit of news that when he wore the high heels on the.
Oh, was the high heels the Grammys?
You know, you're right. Damn it. I get all this thing messed up. See, yeah, the thing about it is really rare for the VMAs to make news outside of like what actually happens. And
yeah,
I think
this is such a great shit-stirring story.
It really is, and I think it really helped that the fact that the video is so like colorful and enjoyable, and so is like the band is super young, and the song is really really catchy and interesting.
Yeah.
If it was for like a, and I love these type of videos, but like you know like a moody, you know, electropop song where you know people are walking across the desert in shopping carts, you know, I don't know if people would have been like jumping on the bandwagon as fast, being like, yeah, like what, you know, it had all that.
Or if it was a Kanye video, right? Like,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
oh,
exactly.
Kanye's buddy can't pay his own ticket. Like, you know, Josh Forbes is you know a likable guy. Even if you've never heard of him, you watch that video and you kind of relate to him.
So just another note on the VMAs. I think our general consensus, the three of us, Adam, you can disagree if you want, but I'm just going to shut you down, was that last year's VMAs were a little, you know, they were had all the pieces there, but it just kind of lacked a little something. And I think we're kind of lined up for a pretty exciting VMAs this year because, of course, Miley is hosting.
I'm stoked. We still have Rebecca and that she's going to tell jokes.
Is she gonna do the? I don't know if she's gonna do a monologue thing. I think she's gonna do.
Jokes.
I think she's gonna do kind of like a little mini version of her,
I'm down. We're down to 3 days. Our joke count battle is in 3 days.
I'm team joke. She's gonna joke.
Team yeah, but joke. Come out and like, do like a monologue. I don't.
I mean, I don't know if it's gonna be like, have you heard this one? Have you listened to this one? Like, I don't think it's Jay Leno, but I think, you know, she's gonna tell jokes. She'll be like, it won't be a Puff Daddy's here, but it will be a thing. Mm-hmm. So,
And the other thing I'm looking forward to is that Macklemore and Ryan Lewis are going to premiere. I mean, it's come out, but like the live kind of like TV premiere of their new song, Downtown.
And can I just tell you that they've been premiering this song in different ways? I'm pretty sure they did an internet premiere. Then they did a radio premiere this morning that I happened to hear on an Uber ride to OMG. and then 2 days later, they're doing that. And then obviously they had the music video premiere today on the internet. And then they'll have the live premiere on Sunday. They're into the premieres of Downtown. And I would call it indulgent if I didn't like it.
Yeah, so there's a lot to unpack here. This is interesting. Because I thought about this a few weeks ago. I was like, you know, it's... You think about like all the artists that had something come out like 2-ish years ago, and you're like, we're probably going to hear something from pretty soon. And I was kind of waiting for that, like, at last year, or maybe it was the year before. It was last year. Shake It Off and Anaconda dropped the Thursday before the MTV VMA. So I was kind of waiting for something interesting to come out today. And then this dropped just a few hours ago, actually. And this video and this song are both absolutely insane in a great way. I was just so blown away by this video.
I like the video a lot. I feel it's got all of the same sensibilities, I feel like, that I was drawn to in Thrift Shop. But it still feels like, it doesn't feel like they're just trying to like rebake the Thrift Shop leftovers. This feels like a fresh thing. But with all of the same just kind of like overall vibe and energy and style and kind of like tongue-in-cheekness of it all are all there. And I think that's a lot of what I really loved about Thrift Shop when I first saw it too.
Well, it starts out with kind of like a classic misdirection.
That's not from my side.
Not from me. Adam, do you have some car horns over there?
Yeah, I think it's good now. Good.
Did somebody actually press the panic button? I do that a lot.
Yeah, there's no crime here. Someone that pressed the button.
Adam is joining us from active heist.
It's fine.
So the video Downtown starts with kind of a misdirection. It starts with like the first like minute and a half of the video is kind of like a different version of, or like a derivative version of Thrift Shop, where he's going shopping for a moped, and it shares a lot of the. You're like, oh no, this is going to be a song about a moped. So instead of the thrift shop, we're going to be talking about mopeds, and he's just going to do the exact same thing.
Yeah, right. Mopeds.
Just get a different song, and then it just sort of like takes a crazy turn around the 1 minute mark, where we're introduced to. I'm not familiar with these people, but I know a lot of people are excited about them being in the video. Melly Mel, Cool Mo D, Grandmaster Caz. And Eric Nally, who is the skinny white guy who is the lead singer of Foxy Shazam, who in my mind kind of steals this video in a lot of ways.
I think Melly Mel, Kool Moe Dee, and Grandmaster Caz, I think they're all, you know, like hip-hop pioneers, and I think they're all producers primarily. We can check on that.
I've heard them references. I mean, I just don't know a lot about early hip-hop, but... which is why I'm going to go see that movie about
songwriter. So they're all songwriters.
Yeah.
But aren't like really, so they're listed as featured, but they don't say anything in the song.
Yeah. Really? I thought one of them was in there, but.
Oh, anyway. Maybe I haven't watched
it. Did you not watch this whole video? Oh my God. It's so good. Adam, you watched the whole video, right?
Yeah, I did twice.
Remember? He said, I just knew it was good.
Yeah.
From what I saw and put it on the list, but then I didn't watch. I had watched the whole thing.
So, but anyway, it takes like several really weird intriguing like left turns, and not just in the video but also musically. We kind of like have a build up of this like moped idea where everybody's kind of driving around mopeds, and we've got like custom mopeds. Macklemore has a moped with a moose head on it. And then all of a sudden the song just sort of like breaks down into the chorus, which is stylistically significantly different than what we've been hearing before. And Eric Nally like rides out of a tunnel kind of in a chariot with an eagle head, being pulled by four motorcycles, which is...
And this unmanned guy, motorcycles.
Unmanned motorcycles. And this guy is a strange-looking dude. Like,
I mean, yeah, he's like a weird-looking dude.
He's got like long black hair, and he's got a mustache, black, jet-black mustache, and a pretty amazing, like, really physical dancer as well. He really starts busting moves. And then this is all filmed in Spokane, Washington, by the way. There's all too much in this video to kind of like go through everything that happens, but I think one of the salient things is at the very end there is a huge downtown like parade scene, kind of like a giant. There's thousands of people kind of like parading around down a street, kind of like what they did in White Walls a little bit, but it seems like on a much bigger scale.
And there's also the Ken Griffey Jr. cameo. Let's not forget. It showed up. This video showed up in my Facebook like trending topics with the Ken Griffey Jr. bend on it. It was like Ken Griffey Jr. recreates famous rookie card in new Macklemore video. Like that was what they thought was going to draw me in about this video. And sure enough, there were tons of articles, you know, from Bleacher Report and all of these different sports websites that are just singling out, you know, Ken Griffey Jr.'s, you know, part in this video, which I don't think is a coincidence or mistake. There is a major, like, there seems to be a major push behind this song, obviously, and this video, too. I also, today, during a break of OMG, was at Dunkin' Donuts and went inside. And while I was in there, they were listening to Ryan Seacrest, and they did, like, a two-minute interview with Macklemore and Ryan Lewis about this song. And then it was, like, the Ryan Seacrest premiere, like, premiering on the first time on the Ryan Seacrest show. It was a terrible interview. It was, like, just about marriage. Huh. Yeah. Anyway.
I mean, this video and this song, I mean, this is obviously a big concerted push. I mean, it's the week before the VMAs. Like we said, a lot of big stuff usually comes out there, or high profile stuff. But in terms of a follow up, I mean, this is like a 5-minute song, and it's also a very weird song. I mean, if you've not heard it, it's a little tough to describe, like how out of left field a lot of elements of this song are. I really like it.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. You say you really liked it.
I did. And I also read that the song from Rolling Stone article, it says the song took over a year to complete, with Macklemore and Lewis drawing inspiration not only from hip hop's early years, but the outlandish arena rock of the 70s and 80s, which is interesting because like they didn't mash it together. They're just like, okay, now this part is arena rock and this part will go back to hip hop. They definitely like kind of like left them compartmentalized, which I think makes it, I like it, I think makes it a more interesting song.
Yeah, it is kind of all over the place, and this video is a little all over the place too, but like not in a derogatory way. It just like kind of goes on this ride.
And directed by Ryan Lewis, Jason Koenig, and Macklemore, who's credited as his real name, which is Ben Haggerty or something.
Yeah, and awesomely, that's a word. They listed full credits, including like full cast credits, in this, as many as they could, in the description of this video, which I've been going through and adding to the site. So look at that. How about that? That's pretty tight.
That is pretty tight, yeah. Because it is a huge, huge video. And there is so many like little pieces of misdirection. I think it's really tough, like when you have an artist like Macklemore and And Ryan Lewis, I guess, yeah. Does it remember somebody did that bit where Ryan Lewis went around interviewing people who nobody knew who
Oh
he
yeah, they're
was.
like, "What do you think of Ryan Lewis?" And they're like, "He's cool."
But
And then
they
you like hold up a picture of himself. Yeah, anyway,
yeah.
sorry.
There was, I think that was on like Jimmy Kimmel or something,
It just sounds like a Kimmel bit.
Actually, Miley did that same bit this week.
Oh
Exact same
yeah,
thing.
but did she dress up at all, or did she
Yeah,
just?
she was dressed as Jane, an Australian woman, and she went up and asked people what they
Bunch
thought
of people.
of her, yeah, of her hosting the NBAs, and they said, "I don't like Miley, I hate her family," and things such as that.
I hate her family, and
That was actually a thing. Yeah, one guy
oh,
hated her and her
that's disturbing.
family.
It's pretty rough. So it will. I think part of the joke of the Ryan Lewis bit was that he was like not disguised at all. He actually looked he was styled very similarly to,
Yeah, he just like went out as himself, like whatever
yeah.
he's gonna wear on the show.
But they had, I think it's kind of tough to remember like how pervasive Thrift Shop was and the singles that came after it and how just huge that was. So that's a hugely tough thing to come back as an artist and like do your act too. Because every you've run the whole you've run through the gamut of everything you can do with the first album and all those things, and then you
Well,
kind of go back and dream it all up again, and that's super tough.
it's not really like, and it's technically not the first album. I mean, Macklemore put out like 8 albums, 7 albums,
Yeah, that's true.
prior to like his break. But like, it's still like that was still everyone's like everyone out of Seattle, basically, their introduction to Macklemore and Ryan Lewis. So it's essentially the same thing. He was a hardworking independent artist, and that's kind of where a lot of artists are getting their start now. They're not getting like people can, but people can go back and listen to the other Macklemore stuff. But this is really like that last stuff was really what people are gonna think of as their first experience with them.
And so the question becomes now for their live VMA performance, are they going to like recreate bits of the video? Because there's always that. I think there's like two types of MTV VMA performances: things that like are basically stage productions of the video, and things that are like their own thing. And a lot of times people will do their own thing, but a lot of times people will just like take elements of the video and like stick it on stage, which is
There's a,
fine.
well, I mean, there's 100% going to be mopeds on stage.
Oh yeah. So,
Yeah,
or maybe
that's a
not.
given.
I mean, remember when Katy Perry did the Roar thing and she was like in a boxing ring?
Yeah, but he's rapping about mopeds.
True. Yeah. She wasn't rapping about boxing,
No.
as far as I don't know. That could be a next album for Katy Perry.
It'd be funny if like he just if Macklemore and Ryan Lewis just do the boxing thing. They're just like the same thing. That's just a used Katy Perry setup from last time.
Nice.
That would be tight. Let's talk about something else. Should we talk about another video from this week? Because we have some from last week too. We took a week off, but there was some stuff that was so good from last week that we had to bring it up.
Yeah, Doug, what's your pick for the next one?
I think we should talk about David Wilson's Tame Impala video.
Yeah, let's do this.
Okay, tight. David.
If I just said no? What if I just said let's not do it?
I mean, I'd be all right, and we'd get to it eventually.
Right.
But I think now's a good time for it. David Wilson is a fantastic director. Ever heard of him? He's directed a music video for Tame Impala before, for Mind Mischief. And this is, I don't know, this is like, for me, this Tame Impala video, this Let It Happen video is kind of David Wilson at his most Gondry. Like, there was some like strong Gondry elements in this video, and essentially the concept is this dude who is he initially late for a flight, or is he kind of just an anxious flyer?
I think he's an anxious flyer, but he's also in the process of having a heart attack, which
A heart
is
attack, right?
exacerbating things, yeah.
Right, and he's just going through just this very stylized torture, internal torture on an airplane. Is that's kind of the basic gist of it, right?
He lays down in the airport terminal and has, you know, he's having this cardiac arrest, as the doctors call it. And as he's doing that, you know, he closes his eyes and he opens them, and he's in a different place. He's kind of transported from these different places, but it's, you know, it's not like he wakes up on like a beautiful beach or anything like that. He wakes up and he's in an airplane, and he wakes up and he's in a hotel room, or you know, he's in these kind of like mundane sort of travel places, and they kind of coalesce around nightmares around flying and traveling, and he's never like okay in any of them. He's always having the heart attack. It's a disturbing video, in a lot of ways, but at the end he's like there is a very, I didn't think of the Gondry aspect before you said that, but there's a very like Gondry-esque visual looking piece where he's like free falling, you know, into these pink clouds, like in his airplane chair, which was like very visually striking.
And another moment that felt very Gondry to me was when he's in the bed and he like picks up his alarm clock and like suddenly it's giant. It's like suddenly this big practical alarm clock on his lap. That's like that felt like a super Gondry moment. Not to say that like I mean I'm sure that there could be some inspiration. Who wouldn't? Who isn't inspired by Gondry? He, but you know, music videos. He basically like invented the modern music video. In a lot of ways, and so you know it's not like a knock that it has Gondry elements in it.
Oh no, wait, not at all.
Yeah.
Adam, you were solid on this video.
Yeah, for sure. And I think Doug's right. There are some Gondry inspirations in this. Even the fact that it's kind of woven together in a series of dreams or nightmares is kind of a theme that Gondry often explores with his films and stuff. So yeah, I picked up on that as well.
The seatbelts, the seatbelt,
I
talking
think that's
sandwich.
important, that
The sandwich.
is the dream aspect. I think
Yeah,
that's
right. Not just the set pieces, but that the style, like the set pieces too. But yeah, you're
yeah, and
absolutely right, Adam.
it adds to the narrative because we're getting bits of what's actually happened interwoven with things that are possibly dream type of things, and I think that's important to the video.
Yeah, you really don't know like which way is up and where you are, like what where the reality is, or if there ever is any.
It has a bit of even a Hitchcock vibe to it. I thought of Vertigo a bit in that that was about a dude who is afraid of heights, and it felt sort of like that as well for me.
Yeah, it does definitely have like a little Hitchcockian like thing going on. The dude who I like the choice of the dude,
Yeah, he's good.
Michael
Yeah, he's
Innstone,
really good.
who has been and I feel like I know I spent a little bit of time like trying to figure out where I know this guy from, but I couldn't figure it out. I do like though on his IMDb, he's credited as in the blind spot as Jed.
That's all you get.
Yeah. Oh,
Is
you know. Oh, I thought the blind spot. What's the movie where the Sandra Bullock,
That's Blind Side.
the Blind Side? Okay, I didn't. I don't remember a guy named Jed in the Blind Side. Okay, that makes a little bit more sense. But he was really good. And he kind of even looks a little. Kind of looks a little bit like Gondry, which I mean, could you see like Gondry making this music video and like putting himself as the flyer? Definitely. But there would be more like the clouds would be like people like walking around with big painted cardboard clouds.
It wouldn't be so see like it wouldn't be so like seamless,
Yeah.
right?
The talking sandwich though, I hope somebody has that prop somewhere. I hope it didn't get like thrown out or whatever. David, if you're listening to this, please send us the talking sandwich.
Yeah, we'll give you 6% of our love. That's like forever that we'll ever give.
True.
6% is a lot.
That's a lot, yeah. That's more than you'll get from
That's more than you'll love anything tangible. Like that's like a object.
Right. You're just giving that to somebody on the street, they're not giving you 6%. That's a huge return on your talking sandwich. It's a pretty good podcast title. If I don't remember these if I don't write them down.
That's fine. Do you have a notebook full of podcast titles from other episodes? Just like random sentences.
Usually the next day I have like a pad of paper just with like nonsensical shit written down on all over the place.
And you're like, oh yeah, this one, a monkey's rim job, perfect.
I hope somebody didn't say that on one of our podcasts. This is a family-friendly podcast, you guys.
Pretty hats now.
Yeah. It was pretty cool of us when we named 8 podcasts in a row Monkey's Rim Job, though. So, but it kind of got redundant after a while.
So people were like, which one am I on? I keep listening to the wrong people's.
should we talk about the Chemical Brothers video?
Yeah, let's get it.
By Mr. Nidian Doff.
Yeah, who's been on this podcast? How weird is that?
Well, when I was watching this video, it is super weird. When I was watching this video, I was thinking back to our interview with Ninian years ago, I guess. 2.5 years ago-ish?
Yeah, I guess that's years.
That's a number in some years. And I remember telling him, or framing a question like, yeah, you have like a very strong thread in all your videos of like body dysmorphia. Because he did the video where What'll It Take by Graham Coxton, where there's a lot of like changing of the shape of like the bodies and things. He also did Staring at the Windows by Fulton Lights, which has the crows with human arms.
Right.
And there's a bunch of other examples. But anyway, so I turned this on, and then this video is basically about exactly what I think Ninian Doff really is interested in, and that is mutilating and like changing the shape and composition of people's bodies.
It's really fantastic.
It really is, yeah.
So the video starts with this woman walking in a desert, played by Hannah John Kamen, who I guess is an actress. She's in movies. Hmm. What movie is she in? She's in I don't know, musicals. It think she's on a TV show or something. Anyway, she's an actress.
She also looks kind of familiar. Well, Wikipedia,
We don't need to do that. It doesn't matter.
She was in Black Mirror.
Yeah, right, okay.
Yeah.
So she's dressed, she's disheveled, she's got a ripped up scarf around her neck, and she's got a broken leg, and she's walking through the desert, and she comes upon a gas station, or not a gas, like essentially just a single gas pump in the middle of an empty desert, with a man, like a tin man, standing next to it. Made of like just kind of discarded, what appears to be just like discarded scraps. Or like the top of it is a funnel and just like discarded metal scraps. A man is made next to the gas pump there. And she gets to the gas pump and she takes it off and shoves it at her neck and fills her body full of gas.
Disturbing in a few ways.
It's so disturbing, but also crazy. And like it comes out of her mouth, and it's nuts. And then there's just like crazy pullback, long distance tracking shot that reveals these like three crazy bald dudes in a van eating chicken.
Mm-hmm.
Essentially, like hunting this girl, like stalking this girl, like clearly chasing her down, looking at her through binoculars, and so she takes the leg off of the man, the gas man, and kind of starts to move in the other direction as these dudes kind of start rolling up on her, and she notices another dude off in the distance who's got a shopping cart behind him and is dragging himself through the desert. He's missing a leg. Dragging himself through the desert with like a pickaxe thing. Is that what you call it? A pickaxe? Mountain climbing device, a grappling hook, maybe.
Right.
So anyway, she comes upon this guy. these dudes in the van are fast approaching. The guy and her, like, the guy kind of reaches out to her for help, it seems, and she grabs onto them, and they seem to kind of, like, merge somehow. And there's this, like, crazy stylized portion of, like, just, like, close-ups of body parts and oil and, like, faces. And suddenly it's just, like, her standing there. Like, she's, like, straightening out body parts, like, reattaching body parts, like, as if you're, like, putting the arm back in a Ninja Turtle that had, like, broken off. And
as we all...
Yeah, everyone gets that reference. Okay, everyone. and like just as the dudes in the van are approaching, and then the video kind of like ends just as she like just run like she's fully like functional, all limbs are in place, her like messed up eyes no longer messed up, and then suddenly she like runs up on these guys when. Throughout the whole video, she was moving at an extremely slow pace, like, runs up at the van, and as soon as she's about to, like, make contact, the video ends. So, that's kind of, like, a short...
It's a very comprehensive description of that.
Yeah, well, whatever. How else do you say what's in this video? Like, where do you stop? You can't... There's no, like, general way to describe this video. Like, oh, it's, you know, like, what are those, like, Lady in the Desert neck oil videos?
Right,
like,
right. You know,
there's no kind of like other way to talk about this video, but like you can't. I couldn't not include it because it's so fantastic.
It's yeah,
so good. It's, it like mixes story and anticipation and energy and like really great visual effects, and it really works.
I agree, 100%. Highly recommended video, Ninian. You did it.
You did it, Ninian.
Because this is one of those concepts that like. It's interesting when you watch a video and you're like, oh, this could be, this is like one of those things where you like, you gotta have somebody who like knows how to do this kind of thing or else it's just not gonna fly. And Ninian has like a history of like pulling off really weird, tough concepts and making them work really well. Such as the video we were just talking about, What'll It Take by Graham Coxton. Video. Remember that one, Doug?
I do. It's a good one.
That was like a kind of like a crowdsourced video.
It's crazy.
And crowdsourced videos are always so like ridiculously boring because it's usually just like a supercut of a bunch of people like, you know, moving their mouths to the words or whatever, and everybody's like, "Yay, we did it!" But Ninian has a unique touch for that kind of stuff, so right. This is really interesting. And Chemical Brothers too, that's a fun artist to do a band music. What are they called? Music videos?
I think so.
Huh.
I think filmed folks. Inserts. Filmed yeah. Inserts.
Because the last, yeah. Bringing it back a little bit is the
bringing
last.
Bringing 88 back.
The last video that they did was for Go in 2015. It was directed by none other than Michel Gondry.
Oh my god, we were just talking about that guy. God
damn it.
God dang it.
Michel Gondry. Michel, Adam, you'd say Michel Gondry does filmed inserts.
He does, he creates them.
Mm. And Adam, if you wanted to purchase the domain filmedinsert.com, how much would you pay? 500?
Wow, that it's in the Museum of Music Videos now, I believe.
Mm.
Or will be, one day.
One day.
Just a domain name in a picture frame.
It's a domain. It's going to be a piece of paper with the domain name. I'd like to think that IMVDB will be in a museum one day. Just mm-hmm. a piece of paper with their domain name printed on it.
Mm-hmm.
Any museum? And a bit of Doug's beard in there, too.
Right.
Just gross. Really gross. Some pieces. You can pull it from my comb.
So should we talk about one of these other vids?
Yeah, let's talk about Tell Your Friends by The Weeknd, directed by Grant Singer.
Right. That's an excellent idea. Because if we're talking about, like, The Weeknd's got to be at the VMAs, right? He's got to be doing something. He's, like, super hot shit right now.
Yeah, he's doing something.
Yeah. And, like, it'd be weird, like, I know I was made fun of viciously on this podcast for not knowing who The Weeknd is, but now I totally know who he is. He is the man who loves The Weeknd. He's got Saturday tattooed, Friday tattooed on his left hand, and Saturday tattooed on his right hand. And a lot of pictures, remember the picture of him on the Rolling Stone with Saturday and Sunday?
Do you ever think that when the Club Going Up on a Tuesday song came out, The Weeknd was like, fuck that? Do you think that was his reaction?
I think he hates that song on principle.
Yeah.
Do you think The Weeknd has ever, like, gone to a photo shoot and the photographer is like, okay, like, we're going to take a picture and here's the calendar and you point at The Weeknd? If I was The Weeknd, I'd be just like, no, I'm leaving. But what if it was like who's the lady from Vanity Fair who's a famous photographer? What if it was like the most famous photographer in the world and they're like, okay, look at
point. Or like Uncle Terry.
Yeah, maybe it's Uncle Terry. Uncle Terry wants you to put your finger.
It's like, no, it'll be funny. But first we're going to dress you up like me. Listen. We dress you up like me, but then you're going to point at The Weeknd so people know it's you. No, listen, I have no idea what Terry Richardson sounds like. I'm sure it's not that.
I think it's pretty close, yeah. So The Weeknd, he's had some popular songs. And the thing about The Weeknd is he likes to do a lot of, he likes to talk about some more adult subjects, would kind of sneak him into the pop songs. So his first kind of big hit was Worth It, which was on the soundtrack to that the movie with the sex that everybody was excited about. What's it called? It's 50 Shades of Grey. And then he had the last song, which was, I think, maybe still number one, is Can't Feel My Face, which is about the cocaine.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I can't feel his face. I had some people that were a little iffy on that, didn't understand that, but I think...
Well, I always associate that with the movie Blow, that, like, line. You remember that line when with Johnny Depp is with Bobcat, and he's, like, testing it out, and he, like, tries it, and he's like, oh, man, I can't feel my face. That's my best Bobcat. Can anyone top my Bobcat?
No, I'm not trying to.
No, you got.
Come on, someone do a Bobcat.
Give me this.
You can't feel my face.
Yes, that's what the podcast is starting with. Amazing. Thank you, Adam. okay, I can see. Okay, maybe that was the inspiration for it because maybe he's a big Blow fan. But this video, so The Weeknd is deep into the Grant Singer kind of collaboration.
He's really adopting his imagery too. Like this, the guy in this video, it's crazy that he's jumped on this train so hard, like willing to.
Right, because the videos that Grant Singer has done with The Weeknd recently have been Tell Your Friends, this one that came out this week, Can't Feel My Face, which came out a few weeks ago, and then The Hills, which came out a month and a half ago or so. And, like, if you know Grant Singer's work, you know there are very, like, strong elements. Not that I'd say there's nothing, like, repetitive or anything like that, but you can kind of pick it. Like, he did a lot of videos for, like, Sky Ferreira. He did some Ariel Pink videos, Foxygen videos, and they all have, like, very strong, like, visual threads between them, I think. And when he started doing the videos for The Weeknd, he really brought that really strongly. And not just, like, the kind of, like, the visual style and his thematic elements, but also a dude. He brought the dude.
And we talked about it on the podcast that we had him on, and I can't remember the dude's name, but he did. He just like brought a character from previous videos.
From Dazed and Daydreams by Ariel Pink. And we have the cast list here, and I don't know what his specific name is.
He's from a band, too, that I forget, but I remember that.
We were all fucking there, guys.
Yeah, we were all there. We all talked about it, so we don't have to repeat. He's a dude.
But he's in Can't Feel My Face. He's like, and I'm always sort of waiting. I was like, when's this dude going to show up after Can't Feel
My
Face?
He's also in the Hills video. There's a crash, and The Weeknd is walking through the neighborhood, and then he sees him in the house.
Right. Oh, he's the dude in that one too.
The end of that video. So it makes me think that these videos are a loop or something. Ooh, like that. Yeah. that the Tell Your Friends maybe like leads into that, because then he speeds away at the end of Tell Your Friends, and then it would make it like a crazy twist if he like speeds away and then gets into a car accident and then gets to this house and this dude is there again. I don't know.
Oh, the only loop, the only snag in that is that he's got a lady friend in the beginning of The Hills in the car, and he's solo.
No, two.
Two, right, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm wrong and an idiot. Anyway.
Dumb. So yeah, so for Tell Your Friends, The Weeknd is walking in a, we got another desert kind of thing going on here. Sun's going down. Weeknd's got a shovel. We see him walking over and he's burying somebody. And it is, he's burying The Weeknd. He's burying himself in the ground. Then he gets up and he's done with the burying and he's super happy about it. And he's kind of skipping around. And then we see the aforementioned dude walking toward him. You skip this if you don't want spoilers, but The Weeknd just shoots him, straight up shoots him, and then he gets in his car and leaves. So obviously that's just a very rudimentary description of what happens. It's all in the style, and Grant Singer does beautiful like use of slow motion in this video as well. Yeah, DP by Pat Scola. Yeah,
Pat Scola is kind of killing it these days. This is a beautiful video, and yeah, just it definitely like follows like the. The like middle video of the three Grant Singer Weeknd videos is where the action is, and the other two videos are a lot more build.
What's the middle one? The middle one Can't Feel My Face?
He like is on fire for half of it. And dancing. I mean, it's you know, it's very much not what these videos are in terms of like these ones are a lot more delicate.
Yeah, no, definitely. And like I said, Weeknd is super popular, so I really like when really popular artists sort of kind of get on a thread with a director. Instead of like, you know, a lot of like Katy Perry just hops around director to director. I think even if she really likes working with him, I think she's just like, I'll just go with a different director and see how it turns out. It's a lot of fun when directors are like, yeah, let's stick it out for like three videos or so.
Or if they just like seem to be picking a director who seems to bring more to the table than a name,
right?
Like just like somebody who they clearly were drawn to them by their aesthetic, and not just like the other artists they've worked with.
So for the VMAs, should we kind of give our picks for what do you think is going to be the video of the year? This year?
And do we want to do even more than the video of the year, or should we do the just that?
Well, we're kind of at the end here, so I think we may
all right, fine.
For time. Or I could cut a video out, and we could do all of them.
No, you're not cutting a video out. What is that?
So we should just do a little recap. A Bad Blood by Taylor Swift, the Kendrick Lamar version, directed by Joseph Kahn, has the most nominations with 7. Followed by 7-Eleven by Beyonce and Uptown Funk by Mark Ronson, both have 5. I'll just go through the video just real quick. The video of the year nominees: we got 7-Eleven by Beyonce, directed by Beyonce; Thinking Out Loud by Ed Sheeran, directed by Emil Nava; Bad Blood by Joseph Kahn; Uptown Funk, directed by Cameron Duddy, former podcast participant; and All Right by Kendrick Lamar, directed by Colin Tilley. And that is our slate of music videos that are up for Video of the Year. Arguably the biggest kind of award for a music video. I think it has the most weight of all the awards.
Mm-hmm.
We'll start with you, Adam. First of all, what do you think is the correct pick, and what do you think is going to be the actual pick?
Okay. Well, the actual Bad Blood will win probably everything, so it's going to probably win Video of the Year. Do I think that it should in this handful of selections? Probably not. Probably Kendrick Lamar, All Right, should probably take it in terms of technical achievements, and it's probably the best of the lot.
Colin Tilley video for best of the year. That's I'll cut that out because that sounds pejorative. But see, okay, so you're saying Bad Blood's gonna win because Taylor Swift's gonna sweep you everything, but All Right should win. I could definitely live with that.
But so I'm there too.
You're there too. Okay.
That's like that. That's exactly what I'd have said.
So out of the thing, you guys both would go with All Right by Kendrick Lamar.
My video of the year is obviously not on this list, but if it's from the of these five, All Right, are you putting Uptown Funk?
Yeah, I think I although they're great videos, I don't think 7-Eleven is actually that great of a video.
I don't like it at all.
Thinking Out Loud is not a video that I'm super familiar with, actually. Although I have watched it a few times and I do enjoy it. It doesn't really stick in my mind that much. I think it's definitely going to be a big night for Taylor Swift, but I'm going to say that Uptown Funk is going to win it.
Mm. And that you like it too.
And then I think that's also the correct choice. I think Uptown Funk's going to take it.
It could. We'll have to wait and see.
Bit of a dark horse.
I don't know. That song was incredibly popular.
It's less of a dark horse than anything else winning. Right. I think.
Yeah. I think yeah, like 7-Eleven winning.
Nothing else has a real shot.
I mean.
No.
I think All Right has a decent shot, actually.
Maybe.
But dude, yeah, Uptown Funk. I just love that video. I think it's a great video.
Fair thing to think.
And so, let's all just pick out one video that like we would really in any category that you would really, really like to see win. That you're like, yes, that needs to win. That maybe like either surprised you or like you're like, yeah, this is what I'm going for in this category.
I mean, I think it would be great for a hero to win Best Director.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would be a sweet thing to happen. That's the one that in that category that I think is most deserving. And that I think, like, after the video, like, that is a technical category that has some meaning, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we got Hear 'Em Rye for Sober by Childish Gambino up. We got Brendan Canty and Connell Thompson for Take Me to Church by Hozier. Colin Tilley for All Right. Cameron Duddy for Uptown Funk. And then Joseph Kahn for Bad Blood. So three videos overlapping there. But yeah, I would love to see Hero take that. I think that'd be fantastic.
And you also got to hope that Shut Up and Dance wins, right?
Oh, totally, yeah. That would be fantastic. I would definitely put that as my favorite of the group there. I think it has a huge chance. I think it has a really good chance.
Josh seems to think Take Me to Church is going to win.
Yeah. I mean, I could definitely see that. It's an interesting category. It's an interesting category because you've got, like, Nabil and Vincent Haycock and Josh Forbes. Three incredibly different directors and three incredibly different videos up. And you've also got Uma Thurman by Fall Out Boy up there as well. So I would pick Shut Up and Dance because all of them, like, can you think of like two videos that are like thematically more divergent than Ship to Wreck and Shut Up and Dance? I mean, they're just sort of diametrically opposed. It's almost kind of weird comparing them at all.
Yeah, right. I could not look at those two videos and pick a favorite because they're not. Yeah, they're so different. They're so different.
And so I think another category that's going to be very interesting to watch is cinematographer category. Because you've got some like super heavy hitters in there. Like Daniel Pearl is up for. It's kind of crazy. Daniel Pearl's been making music videos since like the early 80s. I mean, right. As a cinematographer, he's been in the game for decades and decades, and he's still getting nominated here. And he's up against like Larkin Seipel, who has DP'd some amazing music videos like Never Catch Me by Flying Lotus and Towers by Bon Iver. And it feels like we should have more on the site for him. I feel like, anyway.
He does a lot of other stuff. We should have more on the site for him. We've got to have his name spelled wrong here.
Oh no!
We have two versions and one of them is spelled wrong. It's got to be.
Okay. Well, I'm leaving this in now. And then Chris Probst, which is has done DP work for a lot of super huge music videos like Blank Space and Bad Blood, which she's nominated for, Waking Up in Vegas by Katy Perry. So it's I'm really interested to see how that category works out as well.
Okay, look again.
Did you fix it already?
Yeah.
Damn. Yeah. Okay. Sorry. I was like, I opened the page up for Larkin and I was like,
three
videos. Like, I've heard of Larkin Siepel's name almost every time we talk about music videos.
Yeah, no,
so 5 years.
Yeah, no, it's at 76 yeah, now, which 76. I still think it's low, but.
That makes a lot more sense. So, anyway, good luck, Larkin. Anybody else have anything they want to preview for the VMAs? Are we good?
Yeah, I mean, I guess the one category that I think is pretty strong too is the choreography category. I'd like to see Ryan Heffington, maybe get some recognition for something other than a Sia video. So the Chet Faker Gold video, I really liked. Kind of the roller skating choreography was a pretty cool thing. And the Flying Lotus video, the Never Catch Me, that had some really cool choreography too. So I'd be happy.
We all picked hero stuff. We picked the
hero
stuff.
I mean, his stuff is awesome though. No, it does stand out in here, right? So
I interrupted you, but I meant to interrupt all of us.
Yeah. Tell you. Doug, you're an asshole. Yeah, actually, Adam, that's a super good point because this category is amazing. I didn't even realize that because it also has I Won't Let You Down by OK Go, which I think is an overlooked feat of music video amazingness. And I know it's popular, but I don't think it gets enough like recognition for just how amazing it is. And I think it's tough to, you know, it's obviously like a very different choreography. Sort of on a mass scale, it's sort of like logistical choreography in a way. I don't see it winning, but I would love to see Ryan Heffington take it home for gold by Chet Faker. That's one of those videos when if I'm like kind of chilling out and just want to watch some videos, which I do quite frequently. You know, it, like kind of like as an accompaniment to listening to music, I'll always put on Gold. Like as like the first one because it's just a great opener, I like the roller skating babes.
And when you're just chilling out, are you chilling in Cedar Rapids?
I don't know what that means.
Really? It's a Hillary Clinton reference.
No,
Hillary Clinton is a lady who's running for president.
Okay, hold on, let me Google her real quick.
She did a Snapchat where she was like, I'm just chilling in Cedar Rapids. And just like, it's really uncomfortable. And and it became like a Vine meme.
Oh, I haven't been on Vine in a few weeks, so I really want to see that now.
It's so good. So here's a fun thing.
Yeah.
There are only two categories of people who... There are only two categories... Wait, no. Nothing. Never mind. Shut up.
No,
it's four. there are four categories that we haven't interviewed somebody nominated. In all the rest we have.
Sweet.
That's way different, and that's a dumb thing to count. Why did
We got to interview some more people. We need to get back in the interview game.
Yeah, well, I counted commentaries, and we're in that game.
Oh, yeah. Well, go check out the Josh Forbes one. We'll put that in the show notes. You can find him at imvdb.com/podcast. This is episode 166, I think. And the title will be Huge Return on Your Talking Sandwich. So you can just... Maybe Google that. We may be the first result for Huge Return on Your Talking Sandwich. So,
better be.
So, everybody, this was great. We'll see you on Sunday, hopefully, to watch the MTV VMAs and watch Miley Cyrus tear it up. We'll see you guys next week.